Ready?
Yes.
Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we are thankful for this evening that we have to come and learn your word. Thank you for bringing Jim back to us so that he can continue to teach us and that we may apply the lessons that we learn this evening to our in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I forgot to do something. Brother Roger, would you please go over there in that cabinet? There's a bottle of water and bring it here for me, please.
We're in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John. John is one of the most beautiful books in the Bible, as you know. I love how he brags on Jesus and tells us who he is. And that should take care of every cult that's ever existed. If they would only go to the Gospel according to John and listen to John, they could figure out that Jesus really is Jehovah God, that he is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And that's just plain as it can get. All right, 15 and verse 6. Yon, me, tis, mene, animoi, e blethe, exo, hos, to, klema, kai, ex a ronthe, kai, synagusin, alta, kai, eis to, pir, balusin, kai, kaete. Sharon, you have your Amplified Bible, don't you? Okay. I'll have you do that here in a couple of minutes. Except not is how it starts off, or unless. That's a little figure of speech there. Unless any he may remain in me, he is cast out, outside. As the branch, it was dried out. And they gathered together. Look at that word, synagusin. Synagusin, third person plural present indicative active from synago. This is where you get the word synagogue. The place of going together. Okay? What's the word in Hebrew for synagogue? Moed. Moed. All right. Anyway, the place of going together. It is the place of going together. Okay? So they gather these branches together. And into Asto Pier, into the fire, they cast out. And they are burned up. And they are burned up. Third person plural, present, indicative, passive. Ka'o, they're burned up. Now, what in the world is this talking about? Matthew 13:41, John 15:2, and James 1:11 are cross references to this. What are we talking about here? Most of the Protestant world has not an inkling of what's going on here, and definitely not the Catholic world. We're talking about being in the true work of Christ. You're not in the true work of Christ, your works just go poof. But when you're in the true churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're rewarded for that. That's the Lord's branch. That's his tree. How many churches did he start? One. One church. That's all. Just one church. There is a lot of churches in the land. We talk. There are churches that get almost to the truth, a piece of the truth, hardly any truth, no truth. And the further they away from God, the more evident they are. But the closer they are to the truth, the more lack of evidence there is. That's the most dangerous ones. The ones that do believe some truth. Okay? Because they can lead you astray also. And if you want to serve the Lord, you need to really search out whether your church teaches the truth or not in all reality. That's very important. Where you go to church is very, very important. Unless he may remain in me. We're not talking about salvation here. The people, the Armenians, think that you can get saved and then Christ and get thrown out. That's not what the subject is. We're talking about rewards. Okay, we're talking about remaining in the truth. John was a very loving person, wasn't he? The writer John here, in 1 John, and 2 John, and 3 John, he gets really rough with people that have come into God's churches and led people astray. And in 1 John, he said they left and they went out from us because why? You remember why? They were never part of us. The devil sowed the tares in the churches. The tares are in the churches. That's where they are. The tares are in the churches. That's the most dangerous place for the tares to be. In the churches that will lead people astray. All right. 15 and verse 7 now. Now, the servants of the vine dresser gather up the broken off branches and burn them. Okay. Now, 15 and verse 7. Yon, Menete, En Emoi, Kaita Remata, Mu, En Himen, Mene, Ha, Eon Telete, I Te Saste, Kai, Genete, Himen. If he remain in me, and the words of me, in ye, it remains each statement, singular, each statement, every word, every doctrine, remains whatsoever ye may wish, ye may request, and it shall happen to you all. All right? Now, first of all, we're talking about people in covenant relationship with God and churches. Are we not? Is that the subject here? Okay. Now, those in true New Testament churches, if they ask for something, if they really ask for it, according to the will of God, not their own will, not their own ideas or anything else, the Lord's going to grant it. Okay? What churches mostly do is pray to persevere and to be left alone. It's not safe to worship God in some countries. Is it? It's not. It's not safe. Sometimes it's not safe to worship God here. I had a little opportunity last night to get out on the radio and to preach a little bit. Every now and then, if I have an opportunity, I'll get out there. And for about 30, 45 minutes, hour and a half or something like that, I had a really good opportunity. I talked about spirits and demons and angels and all of that. People are always worried thinking about this. You know, a guy started asking me questions about it, and I laid it out there. And a guy would get in there, and he'd cuss. Every time I'd say something, he'd start cussing. And blaspheming God and blaspheming me. And I just ignored him. But that's light persecution. I've been out there and they'll play satanic music as I'm teaching. You know, the devil really doesn't want the truth to go out. You know how hard it has been to keep these websites up? As I was doing the book of Genesis, we were having prayer requests and everything else. Our websites, Randy has been a real faithful servant in getting those websites up and trying to keep them up. The websites were stolen from us. We were hijacked. They were demanded that we take them down another time. This is a different time now. We were hijacked. Then they demanded we take them down. Discovertheword.com. Now it's back up, you know, of course. But we had so much trouble. Then we wanted to put the videos out, and we talked to these different people. And they said it was unlimited space, and we did that. And then they took the web. We put the website up, and they took it down. Finally, we went over hundreds and thousands of dollars now. We're talking and hundreds and thousands of hours to try to keep it out there. The devil doesn't want it out there because people are learning and they're building churches. Churches have been built off of those websites. To some people, that is their church. That's the only church they have. So, persecution. We have it. We have it in that. I look back and look at all that kind of stuff. And say, oh, boy. I said, boy, we've fought some battles here to try to keep things going. So much work. Just start all over again. And start all over. Three times we started all over from square one. 15:8. And that's mild persecution compared to what things are. But it must be valuable to the Lord, because the devil is sure after it. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or tonight. I never know. But I'm sure pouring them out there. 15:8. In tuto, idoxaste, ho pater, mu hina, carpon, polu, polin, ferete, kai, geneste, emoi, matete. In this very thing, he was glorified the Father of me, in order that fruit much ye may bear. Remember, how do you bear fruit? First of all, you got to be saved. This is something I'm going to tell you just a little bit about true New Testament churches. You have two groups of people in the world that believe, don't you? What are they? Those that believe in security of the believer and those that believe in falling from grace. What are the ones that believe in falling from grace? The Armenians. What are the ones that believe in security of the believer? The Calvinists. All right. Or Baptists. You got these two groups. Okay. There are many places in the Bible that may look like you're losing your salvation. Many places. But it's not talking about that at all. Salvation is by grace only. Ephesians 2 and 8. You know, through 10. There are people that believe in baptism or regeneration, aren't there? That baptism is a vehicle of grace, a vehicle of grace that by baptism you get into Christ. That's the only way to do it. Some people say that's the only way you can be baptized. You've got to be baptized by them or you're not going to be saved. That's the Church of Christ, by the way. And then we have the Mormons, which isn't really a church because they don't believe in the right God. But they baptize people for salvation, don't they? And they baptize dead people that have been dead for 1,000 years or 2,000 years. They'll check all their lineage and everything and go back and be baptized by proxy for all of them. Baptism is not a vehicle of grace at all. Baptism is something that saved people do to follow the Lord. It is a work of righteousness. Now, in that tabernacle back there, that tabernacle is a type of Christ, number one. Secondary, it's a type of the church. Okay? The white fence around there is the righteousness of Christ. Okay? That's a type of salvation. You come in here and the first thing you see is what? What is this thing? That's an altar. That's a brazen altar. All right? The brazen altar, that's the place of sacrifice. When you're in Christ, propitiation has been applied to you. Okay? We're in Christ. Okay? And you wander around in there for forever and never get any further. And some people, I'm glad for every person that's saved in the world and every church, if there's anybody in a whatever church, I am glad if they're saved. That's real good. But the Holy Spirit leads you to baptism. See that labor right there? That's a baptism. Now, you come through here, and the first thing, when you're in here in Christ, the sacrifice of Christ has been applied to you. And then over here, before you go into here, you have to be washed. You have to be dipped. You have to be immersed, baptized. That's what that thing stands for. The priest would be immersed once. And then they would wash their hands and their feet every time they went in to minister. Now, inside the first room, we have a type of the church in the world today. We have the table of showbread, we have the candlestick, and we have the altar of incense. Where the Ark of the Covenant is, that's a type of heaven itself. The churches are close to heaven. True churches are really close to heaven. We have the Lord's Supper in churches. We have baptism and the Lord's Supper is ordinances. See, you can't get in a church and take the Lord's Supper until you've been baptized. And then the candlestick is the light of the Lord in that church. It was handed down to Chicago. It came on their church. The Pentecost has been carried all the way down. And then the real, true prayers of God are offered in the churches. That's very important. Going to church, being part of a church, is extremely important. Because that's where you really get honest with the Lord. And that's where you learn. The discipleship classes are classes that we learn. Okay? Now, you're not baptized into Christ, are you? You're baptized because of Christ. What do you do after you're baptized?
You get in the church. That's the door to the church, so to speak.
Baptism is the door to the church. You don't. You can get kicked out of church, but you never get kicked out of the Lord. You can fall away from church. You can not go to church anymore. You can be excluded from some churches, or you can be taken off the rolls or whatever, but you're never taken out of Christ. First of all, when you're saved, you're in the family of God. And then through baptism and obedience to the Lord, to a church, you're fellowshipped into a church. All right? And that's where you have your rewards. That's what we're talking about here in this. All right? You can never lose your salvation, but you can lose your rewards. That's something. You can lose your standing in the Lord in a church, but you can never lose your salvation. In this he was glorified, the Father and me, in order that fruit much ye may bear. Look at that ferete. What does that ferete say there? What mode of affirmation do we have there, Brother Corey? Do you know what that says there? Can you read that conjugation there? Second person plural, that's ferete. Second person plural present, subjunctive active. Volition, always volition. Volition, volition, volition. Every time you see, it's volition, volition, volition. It is not. The reason why Southern Baptists were called Southern Missionary Baptist churches, the reason for that is that because they sent out missionaries. Because they believed that the Holy Spirit could woo people, and they sent missionaries out. There were what we call hard shell Baptists. How many of you have heard hard shell Baptist? That term, hard shell Baptist. You have heard that, probably from me. Hard shell Baptists are what we call particular Baptists. Those people are some of the particular, but all of the hard shell. And all the primitive Baptists, they do not send out missionaries at all. Because they believe that those that will be called of God, they believe in irresistible grace. And why in the world would you send a missionary out to somebody when you know that God's going to draw them anyway? There's nothing they can do to keep from being saved. Now, that's the logical thing to think. If you believe in a superlapsarianism, that's it, really. You have to get down where the rubber meets the road. Simple as that. Are you enjoying this a little bit, understanding a little better? That ye may bear, and ye shall become. Look at that now. If you do this, you bear, ye shall become. Again, that's a second person plural, future indicative. What voice is it? Middle voice. For yourself, volition, volition, volition. Do you see all that volition? Yes, you do volunteer. Yes, you do submit your spirit. Yes, you do submit your life to God. Can a child of God refuse to submit his life to God? If he wants to be very unhappy, that's the best way to go. Okay, you can be unhappy. And you can do that. You'll never be happy if you don't serve the Lord. Matter of fact, you might not even know whether you're saved or not if you don't do that. I was saved in a charismatic church that believed in losing your salvation. I heard that every day. I heard people stand up and say that they hadn't sinned in 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years. Stuff like that. Now, when they said that, they were lying, but, you know, that was that. This is what I was raised in, okay? And I went down and was saved. I went down, and a woman went down there with me, which was my step-grandmother, and she led me to the Lord. And it really worked. I've been saved ever since, but I didn't know that. Back in the late 60s, I thought I got saved again. It took me 10 years to look back and realize that the Lord never took His hand off of me. Not all that time. I was saved all the time. I was very unhappy. Running with the ungodly bunch I was running with as a young teenager and things, I was totally, like, out of place. I was not happy. I couldn't be happy. They could just go out and do anything they wanted to. I could follow along with them, and I was not happy. not happy. You know why? The Lord wasn't going to let me be happy. I was taking His Spirit in this mess. That's what happens, see? And I thought I had to get saved again because I didn't know any better. And then as I studied God's Word, I had a foundation. You can go to some churches, if you're just a good guy or a good girl, you're okay. You know that? But what does it take? It takes repentance. You really repent, you really call upon the Lord to save your soul, and it's a done deal from now on. But serving the Lord in a real New Testament church is very important. Ye shall become to me habitual learners. This is a discipleship class. That's the word disciple right there. Habitual learners. That's what I try to make people as habitual learners, people that will dedicate their lives. I guess that we have had more missionaries go out of my classes and more preachers surrender to preach and different things in the last 20 years here than any other class, I guess. and it's not me. I never called one. But the Word of God does it. I make the Word of God come to the, alive in people's lives, and they see it and they understand it, and then they want to follow the Lord. And that's what's supposed to happen. And that's what will happen. If a parakeet could preach the Word of God, people would get saved. If a frog could croak it or a dog could bark it. It's not the vehicle. It's the Word itself that really does the job. Kathos. Akapason. Me. Ho pater. Kago. Himas. Akapesa. Menate, that is. In te agape, te eme. We have the word agapeo and agape here all over this verse, don't we? What is agapeo mean? You know, there's a lot of words for love in Greek, isn't there? Isn't there? A lot of words for love in Greek. I've all got them all written down here someplace. All kinds of words for love. Philo. Philo means what? Philo.
Brotherly love.
Huh?
Brotherly love.
It means I like a lot. Philo. Okay? And the word Poneria, that's a word for love. Believe it or not, that's the love lust. That's the lust after. Okay? It's not a good connotation at all. It's a twisted, messed up love. Then we have the word storge. 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 All right? Storge is family love, where you love your family, okay, storge. And then we have the word eros in Greek, eros, which we get the word erotic from. This is another sexual attraction, okay? And we have the word agapeo. Agapeo. That is a high and holy sacrificial love. Agapeo. Now, agapeo is used in a few places in the Bible where it says where the Jews said they loved the praise of man more than the approval of God. Well, sacrificial love, it means they sacrifice their eternal souls for the praise of men. Is that sacrificial love? They loved the praise of men more than they did their eternal souls. Many of the Jews would not believe. And Jesus gave all kind of parables representing that. The parable of the wine, or the parable of the landowner, where he had sharecroppers come in on his property. And he sent his servants, which represented the prophets, and they killed them and they beat them, and they told them to go away and leave us alone. Then he said, I'll send my son, my only son, whom I love with all of my heart. Surely they would respect him. And they saw him and they said, aha! Let's murder him and take his estate. That's exactly what they did. We see that. This is a religion This is a religion means the act of binding back again. Religion. We've looked at that word before. The act of, I-O-N, ligare, to the Latin word, we get our word ligament from, which means to bind. Bind bones with muscle and all that kind of stuff. That's what ligament's doing. And R-E means back again. Religion should bind you back to God, but some religion binds you away from God. The Apostle Paul was a Sicari, you know that. We had three Sicaris in Jesus' church. We had Judas Iscariot, Simon, all right, the Zealot, and then we have Paul the Apostle, which was Saul at that time. Three of those. They basically were killers, murderers. Do you think that Paul did Paul the Apostle ever kill anybody? He admitted it, didn't he? Murder. He was a murderer in the name of God. Jesus told his church that they're going to kill you and think they're doing me a service. They're going to murder you. And they think you're doing me a service. Just as he loved me, the Father. Look at that. He sacrificed me. All right? The Father, I have loved. Ye remain in the love, my love. You remain in my love. I want you to remain in that kind of love. A lot of people want to die, don't mind dying for the Lord or dying for their country or something else, but how many people really live for their country in service or live for their Lord in service? It's a whole lot more to live and to serve voluntarily the Lord or the country. Our first president, you know, he wasn't the first president, but he was the first elected president. You know that. George Washington. He served. He wanted to go back home. He served two terms. He wanted to go back home because he was serving for free. You know, this is a volunteer. All the first representatives and senators and all that stuff, this was volunteer. They took years out of their lives and out of their workforce, building their empires or their family fortunes or whatever. They took those years out and served the country. We don't have any of that today. We don't have that today. They want you to get on the dole. They're on the dole for the rest of their life. They got the best insurance, everything else you can possibly have. Better than anybody else. They got it. And they want to get in there and get in there and become one of the good old boys, and the rest of the world can just go to do whatever they can do. Because they got it made from now on. It's done. Verse number 10. Iontos entelos. Mu teresete. Menete. Ento agape. Mu, kathos, ego, tos, entelos. Tu patros, mu. Tetereke. Kai meno. Auto. Ento taut. Agape. If the commandments of me, ye may, what is that mode there again? Brother Corey, what do you think that mode is there in that teresete? That's subjunctive mode. That means what? Volition, 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 volition. I want you to see that volition every time. A hyper-Calvinist would really have a lot of trouble with Greek. They just may as well believe King James and just be happy. But when you get into the Greek, you've got problems. Okay? Because you see it all over, it just jumps out in front of your face. You understand that now? How many times this has been repeated in the Gospel of John? If the commandments of me ye may keep carefully and guard with your life. Second person plural, first aorist, subjunctive active. Ye shall remain in the love of me. The commandments, the doctrines of truth. That's what he's talking about, the doctrines of truth. Just as I, the commandments of the Father of me, I have guarded with my life. And I remain of him in the love. That gives us high standards, doesn't it? Really high standards to live up to. 15 and verse 11 now. Tauta laleka himen hina he kara he ame in himen a kai he kara himon plerothe. These things I have spoken to you all. These things I have spoken to you all. First person singular, perfect indicative active. It's a statement of fact, isn't it? Let's look at that perfect tense. It's completed action, isn't it? Indicative mode is a statement of what? A fact. Affirmed as a fact. And then the active voice? He's doing it. I have spoken to you all in order that. Here we have a little conjunction, page 201, and that little old analytical Greek grammar there. Hey, kara, the joy, the absolute to relish my joy in ye. It may become. Look at that. It may become. Look at it again. Third person singular. Present what? What mode? Subjunctive mode. What subjunction? It is a conditional statement. What condition is it conditional upon? Volition. And the joy of me, of ye, that is, it may be filled completely up. Your joy may be filled up. You know, I've not tried to miss very many classes. I've missed almost 2 weeks of classes because of flu and pneumonia. And it hit me so hard that I could not do anything. I hated not to come because I was still alive. But I couldn't do anything. Sunday morning I came and preached. And I knew I couldn't do it twice that day, so I didn't do it that night because I just couldn't do it. Wasn't physically able. But when I'm up here doing this, I know that I'm directly in the middle of God's will. I'm happy. I mean happy. I know I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Exactly. I'm in exactly the right place. Doing exactly the right thing. I don't know how to tell you how much joy you can have when you're doing that. How much joy. And I'd preach if I'd had to pay to do it. And I do. Because when you know you're called to preach, it's irrevocable. That's it. You just do it. And you're not happy unless you're doing it. It's just, you can't quit. You just can't quit. You have to just keep on doing it. It's because you want to. Because you know that you're doing exactly what God wants you to do. You can leave here today and you can figure out what God wants you to do exactly, and you can just have this joy. You can have it. It's yours to have. When you're doing exactly what God wants you to do in your life and you know it, just get with it and do it with all your might. You don't have to preach. You don't have to even be a teacher. You can be a servant. You can go out and help people. You can go out and do things, whatever, to witness. There are missionaries, you know, that never really get up and preach. They're never even known. They're missionaries among people. They are missionaries, real missionaries. The greatest preachers are not the super preachers. It's the ones that are out there in those little churches preaching all of their life and just barely able to pay their bills. It's real easy to be a super church pastor. It's real easy to do that. You don't have to worry about the money because the money comes flowing. But you go out there in these little churches where you're barely staying alive and go to, and you do that week after week after week after week after week, and you could be doing something else, making more money. And you may be spending everything you have doing it and all of your time and your health and everything. But you know what? Who do you think's the happiest? What do you think? The teachers that teach week in and week out, year after year after year after year. No recompense whatsoever. And they study so hard, as much as all of the super evangelists are. And what glory you get in the world today is what you got. Many times, because the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Just think about that for a while. I always watch those little children of God in churches that just go there and they give and they're there always. There was a guy here 20 years ago when I started coming here. I used to watch him. He'd always wear the pants with suspenders on. And I always looked at that guy with the suspenders. Finally, he disappeared. I probably died, I imagine. I looked for him, and then a little old girl, a little old woman, used to catch a bus over from East Bakersfield and come here. And I'd see her walk from the bus stop down here and here. And I always look at that, and I say, look at that little oaky girl. I tell my wife, that is a child of God. That is a faithful servant. She was here for every function. Every function. It was hard for her to get here. It wasn't easy for her to get here. That's going to have some, that girl's going to have crowns. Great crowns of glory. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. She'll be ahead of me. Ahead of many, many people. Because she's doing it for the Lord. And it's difficult. Wrestled with her children, tried to bring them, and have a husband that is no worthless, no good for nothing, and just keep on coming and keep on doing the best of the kids. And the husband, the children follow him instead of following the mama. And it happens both directions, too. But they just keep on putting one front in front of another and just keep on going. Steadfast. Remaining. Meno. Hipo meno, as it says in the book of James. Remain under the strain no matter what. No matter what's coming on around you, just keep on keeping on. Because you know that you're doing what the Lord wants you to do. Haute, Esten, He, Intele, He, Eme, Hina, Agapete, Aleleus, Kathos, Agapesa, Himas. This it is the commandment, Intele. The contract. The doctrines. The Catholic Church survives on dogmas. Dogmas of the Holy See are the great bulls, you know, or the Pope, whatever you want to call them. Doesn't matter what the Word of God says, what they say. Okay? The commandments that Jesus Christ gives to us are from His Word, and this is one of them right here. This is the commandment. My commandment, in order that ye may love one another. Love one another. I've had people cut my throat and chop me up into pieces in churches. One time it happened here at this church. Two times, actually, it happened here at this church in leadership. And I just kept on going on. My wife said, how can you have any respect for that man or do this or do that or anything? I said, don't worry about it. I know I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to love them in spite of them. That's just what you do. You love them in spite of them. Now, those people out in the world, you don't have to do that to. But those in covenant relationship, you just got to have a whole lot more. Love covers what? A multitude of sins. And that's where it really, it's hard in churches sometimes. Because you know what? Churches are made up of ungodly people that are doing ungodly things and doing ungodly things to you sometimes. Just as I have sacrificially loved you, love one another. Jesus is talking about the cross as if it was already something he was looking behind on. As I have loved you. He looked at the cross as if it was a completed fact. Here we have God, Jehovah God, come out of space and out of eternity into space and time. And he felt the cross. and eternity past. The Lamb stood as a what? Jesus Christ stood as a Lamb slain from before the foundation of the earth. That's way back yonder in eternity past, before He ever created one thing, not even angels and spirits. He stood as this Lamb. He knew what it was going to feel like. And right at the last moment, we were in Luke, last Sunday morning, we were in Luke where Jesus was looking to the cross. And it was hurting Him. He could feel the nails in His hand. He could feel the cat of nine tails across His back. He could feel it because it was getting close. You ever had to look forward to something and knew it was going to hurt real bad? In 1972, I had got hurt in the oil fields real bad. My back was, well, basically, I was paralyzed in the legs most of the time. And I went to this doctor. The oil company got out of it. I wrestled around. I finally had to get on welfare to have the operation. And I waited way too long. I was getting really bad. And I went to this insurance doctor, which was nothing but bought and paid for liars. You know, nothing wrong with you. You know, I was dying. I finally went to this genuine Christian doctor. And he said, I don't know how you've lived for the last 2 years. He said, you are that close to being paralyzed, period, permanently from now on. We got to operate on you right away as soon as we can get the paperwork done. And then I got pneumonia. And he couldn't operate on it. He said, every day is dangerous for you. But he said, he put me on antibiotics and everything else. And finally, when I got together, then before he operated on me, he said, well, he said, it's going to be a real long road because we're doing experimental surgery. We're going to go in and we're going to take disc out and we're going to take pieces out of your hip and we're going to pound it up and just pulp, and then we're going to stick it all together and we're going to have to lay you there in the hospital and just roll you back and forth because you can't move. You know, you're going to be rolled back and forth. You're going to have to lay by that for 2 weeks. You know, 15 days actually is what it was. They just rolled me back and forth in sheets. And they rolled me a lot. And he said, I'm going to tell you what, it's going to be painful, but he said, if you don't have it, you're going to be paralyzed. He said, you'll never work again, but you're going to be paralyzed if you don't have the surgery. And then the last thing, he said, you've got a 50% chance of living. And it's going to hurt like mad. It's going to be a long road. He said, you won't be able to drive probably for 2 years. Well, I did went through all that stuff, and I mean to tell you what, it was painful and it was horrible. But I'm standing here today because of that surgery. I've had another one since then. And it gets real bad at times, as you've seen me where I could barely walk. But the Lord gave me that second chance. The Lord of the second chance gave me a second chance where I could walk. But all the time I was down, I wonder why in the world I got hurt, right? 21 years old. At the peak of my strength, I could pick up 100-pound sack of mud and walk up a ladder with them, deadlift 1,000. I was deadlifting 1,000 pounds when it happened, when I got hurt. We had to go out and move the rig before the crane got there, and they wanted all this heavy stuff moved. You just did it. We had a 1,000-pound outrigger out there, and I was in the middle of it. We got two guys. I had picked it up and loaded it myself. But the ground was so wet and slippery, it was just like glass with grease on it. That's dangerous to pick up anything like that, even to walk across it with anything heavy at all. Well, we were walking across it with 1,000 pounds picked up. Two guys on the end, I was in the middle because I was a strong guy. They slipped and fell on the pipe that I was carrying. My back popped. I threw it over the deal. I had to throw it up this high, up over on this rack, and I fell down. I couldn't hardly walk. I'd fall down, just kept falling down. My back was just burning like fire. Crushed all those discs and my backbone in there. Well, I made good use of my time. I couldn't do anything else, so I studied the Bible. Day and night, pain pills kept me awake. I couldn't sleep. So I just studied day in and day out. I learned Greek. I learned Hebrew. I got every book in the seminary and studied every course there was. God let me get hurt real bad. and let all that stuff happen to me because it was good for me. But look, now you're a recipient of what happened to me then. See that? Sometimes bad things happen for good reason. It'll turn out good. So anytime you come into something really bad and something really bad happens to you, look back and say, well, I wonder what the Lord's going to use this for. What's going to do with this? I didn't know that, you know. It took me 10 or 15 years looking backwards. You've got a lot better hindsight than you go foresight, you know. I can guarantee you that much. A lot better. All right, number 15. 15:13. Mazona, Tautes, Agapane, Udes, Eke, Hina, Tais, Te, Psychane, Alto, Thi, Heper, Ton, Philon, Altu. Greater than this love, no one he has, no one he possesses. In order that the life of him he may lay down on behalf of the friends. This is a friend. On behalf of his friends of him. That he'll lay his life down on behalf of his friends. That's a mark of true love. How many times in combat do you see this happen? In military combat. You ever see that happen, brother? How many times have you seen it happen? Bunch, huh? A lot of times. And some of those people that survive, the ones that survive, they have a bad feeling because they survived and the other ones didn't. They're people that should have had purple hearts and everything else, but they couldn't bring themselves even to apply for it because the other ones are all dead. I just got hurt real bad. They're dead. That's what you call survivor syndrome. But they'll go out and put themselves in harm's way for somebody that is their friend. Comradeship. Isn't it? Valid, isn't it? Comradeship. It's valid. Especially where you're risking your life. When you go out every day and risk your life, and your life is at jeopardy, and you have these people by your side that you will sacrifice your life for. And you do it for them. You go out and rescue them. The Congressional Medal of Honors, you know, those are won by those people. The Congressional Medal of Honors. People that risk their lives for the safety of others. 15 and verse 14. Hemes, Philoi, Mu, Este, Ion, Poiete, Ha, Ego, Enta, Lomai, Amen. Ye friends of me ye are, ye remain. Friends of me ye remain. If ye may practice as a habit those things that which is I command to ye. You remain my friend if you continue to practice those doctrines which I have told you. Those doctrines, those edicts that I've told you. If you want to be God's friend, do what he wants you to do. Okay? And Jesus chooses his friends too, doesn't he? Does he not? Do you choose your friends? You can't have any choice with your family business at all. I mean, your family. But you can choose your friends. All right? 15:15. Ukete. Lego. Himas. Doulos. Hote. Ho. Doulos. Uk. Oidane. Ti. Poye. Auto ho kyrios himas de ereka philus hote panta ha ukusa para tu patros mu agnorisa himen. No longer I say to you slaves, I'm not going to call you slaves, because the slave, not he has known what he does of him the Lord, or the master, his owner. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's just living from day to day. His master has got the master plan in his mind or in his hand or on paper. Plans. Okay? But ye, I have called friends, because all things which I heard from the Father of me, I have made known to you. Isn't that beautiful? They didn't understand what he told them, did he? They didn't understand the things he said. He gave them parables. He gave them all kinds of clues of what he was going to do with his life, and they did not understand that he was going to die for them. They wanted to be big shots in the kingdom, remember? Who's going to be on your right-hand man? Who's going to be your general? Who's going to be this? And who's going to be your CEO and all this kind of stuff? You know, which one of us is going to do that? Show us which one's the best. He said, become a servant. The servant shall be the greatest. Remember what I said? The first shall be last and the last shall be first. That thing has rung in my head for many, many years. I think I got it figured out. The first shall be last and the last shall be first. 15:16. Ukemes, me, ex eleisaste. All ego, ex lexamen. Himas, kai, etheka. Himas, hina, hemes. Hipagete, kai, karpon, ferete, kai, ho, karpos, himon, mene, Hina, ho, ti, an, I, te, sete, ton, patera, in, to, onamate, mu, do, himin. That's a long verse. Not ye, me, you picked out, you chose, you elected. You didn't elect me for yourself. Let's think about that for a while. They were saved under the ministry of who? Most of these people. The apostles were, at least. They were saved under the ministry of who? Who was a preacher they heard preach and they repented and were baptized? John the Baptist. Okay. They were saved under his ministry. They were saved already. But now he picks them out. He calls them out of the kingdom of God, out of the family of God, basically, into his elect church. Church and Israel are the two elects in the Bible. Israel and the church. Those are elected. Elected. Picked out. Okay? But I elected you all. And I place ye in order that ye may go and fruit. Ye may bear. Is God calling you to service? Real New Testament service? Where you can really bear fruit? Where you can really do something for the Lord? Choose that. You can choose. That ye may bear. And look at that now. Ye may bear. Phaderete. Second person plural. Present what? Subjunctive active. Volition. 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 Ever which direction you look. And the fruit of me, or the fruit of ye, that is, it shall remain. If you put it on the right foundation, if it's on the wrong foundation, it's just poof. In order that, whatsoever ye may ask, the Father in the name of me, he may give to you all. Jesus recognizes his own responsibility in the choice of the disciples. Paul, in Acts 9 and 15, called himself a vessel of choice, didn't he not? There's one time where God broke his own rules. Did you know that? So to speak. Volition is very important, isn't it? Animals have volition. Angels have volition. Spirits have volition. All of this stuff. Every man has volition. The Apostle Paul had made his choice. That's what he said. He made his choice. And he was a persecutor of God's churches. That's what he did. Okay? He did that by choice, and he thought he was doing God a service. And Paul's going to, not Paul, but Jesus is going to say that in just a little while. And God slapped him down on the road to Damascus, going to kill more Christians and to destroy churches. He persecuted the church and killed and murdered like a ravening wolf, like a coyote, like a hyena. He destroyed, destroyed, and destroyed. And God stopped him. And Paul the Apostle used the term, he said, I was aborted. People can go away from God to where they make a choice, It seals their eternal destiny to hell. And of course, you can ask the Lord to forgive you and to save you, and you can seal yourself for eternal life. But some people seal themselves to hell. Paul the Apostle had done that. And God slapped him down and said, I got better use for you, you Sicari. You murderer, I have got another job for you. And you won't see again until you do it. Remember, he went blind. And remember, you know, there's about three accounts of this in the Bible. He said, I was struck down on the way to Damascus and blinded by this light. And he said, I heard a voice from heaven speaking to me. And the others heard the sound there, but it couldn't make out what it was saying. And he said, what was Paul's answer when he slapped him down? He said, what? What did he say?
Who are you?
Yeah, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? He said, I am Jesus who you persecute. Wow. Yes. He was on the Sanhedrin court when Jesus was crucified. He was on the Sanhedrin court and stood there when they killed Stephen and murdered him. Outlaws. Sicarii. Rats. People behind the badge but going the wrong direction. The outlaws behind the badge. Jesus whom thou persecute. What would you have me to do? That's good now. That was a good, good question. Who are you? Jesus whom you persecute. And he said, oh, okay. What would you have me to do? Go to the house of this man. He will lead you to eternal life. And you submit. And when he was baptized, he saw again. Because he was spiritually blind all the time. There was one man that was aborted out of the way he was going. There are some different things out there in left field in the Bible. We don't have any answers for that kind of stuff. He was brought, grabbed, and aborted into the service of God. But boy, did he serve the Lord after he found out what he's supposed to be doing, just like he did before. His wife divorced him, according to history. His children would have nothing else to do with him. He had himself made a eunuch. All of these different things that tradition tells us. He gave up the world to serve the Lord. And in the end, he was beheaded. But God gave him a lot of children. Never had another wife. Didn't have any need for one anymore. But God gave him some women that were fantastic friends, didn't he? A lot of them. Pudens and Claudia, remember, that went into Scotland later on and became Christian missionaries. The Bible mentions them. That's why all England got the gospel through them. All right, do you have any questions? We'll start at 15 and 17. We started at 14, 15:6. 6 to 16. We made 10 verses tonight, didn't we? That's what we're supposed to do. I thank the Lord that He helped me go through this class and to teach it without coughing up my lungs. And I've been doing all day long. See there? Just put yourself in the place and the Lord will try to use you in spite of you. Do you have any questions, Corey? Sonia? Young lady, do you have a question?
Not a question, but I guess that comment with the vines and the vine dressing. And
yeah.
That I never knew that before. I always thought that was salvation.
Oh, no. The pearl of great price. There are a lot of the parables and things in the Bible. People just use them. The pearl of great price. That's where you go and give everything to buy the pearl. And the pearl is salvation. And that's not what it is at all. The pearl is the church. And Jesus gave it all for the pearl. For you're the pearl. You're the pearl. All right? You're the treasure in the field. The treasure in the field is not salvation. Now, the world looks upon this as that the treasure in the field is you. And he sold everything he had and bought the field so he'd own the treasure. Jesus came down out of eternity in space and time and became a man so he could redeem us and bought the field so he could have the treasure. Beautiful, beautiful stories. The world misses them so far. Not salvation. It's the Lord saving us. Salvation is not something you work for. Salvation is something that God gave you. Period. Roger, you had a question. Pamela? Corey? Nope. Sometimes you've got some real good ones right at the end. Fantastic questions. Well, let's have a word of prayer and we're going to turn you loose on the world. Go out and do something eternal.
No, yes. Are we going to meet next Wednesday because it's Christmas Eve?
They probably won't want to meet on Christmas Eve, so we probably won't. Okay? I'm sure they don't want us to do that on Christmas Eve.
And then
it'll
be New Year's Eve.
Yes. New Year's Eve, I don't care. I'll be here, but if you be here, I'll be here. I don't care. That's a good way to finish the year. But if you want to, we'll see how things are rolling and see how I'm doing by then. Would you mind coming up and leading us in prayer, dismissing us in prayer, young lady?
Oh, Father, we just thank you for this lesson and just thank you for the beauty of your word and the truth of your word. And Lord, I just ask you to till our hearts so that the word that can be deeply rooted in us, Lord, that your word can just be deeply rooted and that we can bear fruit, Lord. And Lord, I just thank you for everyone who's here. I'm thanking you for everyone who will hear this out there in computer land. And Lord, I just ask your blessing on us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.